How long? We've got patience, perseverance, waiting, hope. This morning's reading encourages all of those. It speaks to all who suffer. It speaks to all who lack. It speaks to all who are outcast. Those who are reading were not in good straits. They were in bad positions. And Paul was offering hope and encouraging peace, or encouraging patience, perseverance, waiting. And you know, as I read this, often, I also am thinking, blah, blah, blah. That sounds a lot like folks who have enough saying to those who don't, just wait on things a little while longer and things will get better. I can imagine myself in the position of someone who has been lacking for so long and saying, how long is it going to take until it gets better? Does God continue to offer care, compassion, love, and endurance to all of God's children? Because I have significant trouble with the idea that one has to wait in hope, while others, under the pretense of doing God's work, and I see it all the time, seek to further marginalize, ostracize, and even demonize the ones who don't do things the way they do, or who aren't like them. Let me rant for a little while. We've all said this, or something like it. I am so blessed. The I am blessed is, you know, it's usually related to good health or to healing or enough money to pay their bills, extra wealth, property, great family, a great trip, and other good things in life. And some have also said this or something like this. I feel like I'm cursed. And the I am cursed is usually related to poor health, tragedy, poverty, loss, anger, broken relationships, bad life situations. You don't have nice stuff because God loves you any more than you have bad things because God doesn't love you. You can't pray enough to make God give you wealth and prosperity. And you can't not pray enough to make God bring tragedy and pain into your life. Let me say that again. You don't have nice stuff because God loves you any more than you have bad things because God doesn't like you or love you or God hates you. You can't pray enough to make God give you wealth and prosperity, and you can't not pray enough to make God bring tragedy and pain into your life. In today's reading, Paul says that there is suffering. No one can avoid it. Paul also says that there's freedom, redemption, and help, and it's on its way. But how long? How long is the waiting required? And what shall we all do while we wait? And then the other question, why do we have to wait? And maybe that's a childish, why do I have to wait? But really, why do we have to wait for these things? And what about people who don't have to wait? What about those who don't know suffering and pain? There are plenty of people who don't know suffering and pain. What about those for whom bad is the default place? What about those who live constantly in suffering and pain? Is there some great reversal coming? And since no one is immune to suffering, is there a guarantee that suffering is coming to those who do not suffer? Is that also part of the mix? Wait, wait, because it will come, because it comes to everyone. I don't know why everything happens. I can say with confidence that folks with positive attitudes and a good work ethic tend to be happy folks. Sometimes things fall apart and positive attitudes, some would call it hopeful attitudes, disappear and turn to despair. And no matter how hard folks work, they can't seem to make ends meet. And sometimes folks are depressed and anxious or confused, and other folks want to tell them to snap out of it, as if illness was something that one can simply snap out of. Folks with brain disorders, with mental health issues, need medical treatment, just like people with injuries of the arm or leg or anything. Folks with disabilities need access and respect instead of marginalization and fear. Sometimes things are great, right? And sometimes they stink. And much of the time, they're just fine. And then there's this verse in today's reading. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Those are words of hope. They're words that do say it gets better. They're promises that do offer hope, but they still say there's more waiting. So let me suggest something dangerous, a little dangerous. What if, as people who mostly have enough and who mostly live where things are fine and often great, what if we pledged not to wait anymore? No more patience, no more waiting, living in hope from wherever we are, persevering in hope, and giving that hope legs. Acting in ways that can and will make a difference, and doing it with hope and strength. Some possibilities. Two weeks ago, we had coffee hour in the memory garden. What did you see in the memory garden? There's beautiful flowers and everything. It's really nice. It's expanded. There was that cool thing with the water and the balloon. And then right in the middle of the first part of it, there's a peace pole. Do you remember when we put in the peace pole? It was probably less than 10 years ago. But why don't we do something with that peace pole? We could invest time and energy in being a real voice for peace. Today, September 21st, is International Peace Day. It started in 1981 by the United Nations General Assembly, and it's a day devoted to strengthening the ideals of peace both within and among all nations and peoples. We have a peace pole, but why don't we give that legs and be advocates for peace in our community, in our world? And sometimes it's messy, and sometimes it's not easy, and sometimes people will look at you the wrong way because you're advocating for peace when they are like, no, we have to bomb. We can be advocates for peace and give hope legs. And how do you pray? Do you pray in silence, contemplation, meditation, art, music? Hope you'll consider, not just consider, but actually do, join together with us for the All-Church Prayer Vigil, 24 hours, October 25th and 26th. Sign up for the one-hour shifts, for the three-hour shifts, and pray. We have a wonderful relationship with our partners at Ray Graham Association. And next Sunday, right, Carol, next Sunday, is the annual Ray Graham Monarch Walk. Carol has put together a team and could give that hope legs by not just considering, but doing, but by walking with Carol or sponsoring the team and raising funds for Ray Graham Association. It's the Carol Clifford St. Paul's team, and there's a link in your bulletin, part of raising funds for the work that Ray Graham Association does not only with our partners right next door, but throughout the community, throughout this northern part of Illinois. And then coming up in a few weeks, another opportunity, Crop Walk. Our congregation has participated in the annual Church World Service Crop Walk for years. I mean, this year would be a year that that you haven't sponsored or walked, and you want to sponsor or walk. Maybe both. Or something really easy, Undie Sunday. It's funny to say that. But we had Nancy was, you know, was going to make an announcement, and Julia made the announcement a few weeks ago, but I remember how the announcement was going to start. And Nancy could pull this off. I'll try to pull it off. She's going to go, I want to talk to you about underwear. You know that socks and t-shirts and undergarments are important. Everyone wears them all the time. Okay, not everyone, but you know what I mean. And we're collecting t-shirts, socks, and underwear for adults and children. And you can help fill up the box by just buying a few extra when you're at the store. And every item donated goes to PADS or the Fish Pantry in some connection. We want to get 500, 600. Let's get 1,000 of those. Let's make a bigger difference than we did last year or the year before. And speaking of fish, remember, let's keep filling up the bin right outside the sanctuary here any Sunday. It doesn't have to be the first Sunday of the month, and you can bring an awful lot. And if you want to just put money in there, you can make donations to the church and say this is for fish. If you want to put money in there, you can too. But really, it's for food, non-perishable food. And we're working on having that shopping cart drill team in the July 4th parade next year, filling up those carts with food for fish. There's nothing official yet, but we have gotten at least a good response in some of our initial inquiries, and in February we get to more formally present that idea. Those are some easy and not so easy things for giving hope legs. And there's lots of other things we can give legs to. Advocacy on immigration reform or LGBT equality or environmental justice or mental health justice. There are endless opportunities to make a difference, maybe not globally with one person, but with one person, with one person. So, does it feel like too much? We got to pay our bills. How are we going to do all that? We have to do that. We have to be a voice that changes people. We have to be a voice that reaches out and wants to make the world better. That is our job as the church. I know we have to keep the lights on, but our job isn't to keep the lights on. Our job is to keep the lights on and to offer hope. Too hard? No strength for that? Still, let's hope and act and be confident in our strength and be confident in our weakness. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Help us to be agents of change. Help us to be people who give hope legs. Help us to be advocates. Help us to attend to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.